Well, anytime we have a discussion about Christianity, we need to always start with God, and we also need to start with God's love before we consider what it is that we're supposed to be doing as followers of Jesus. One of the things that I want to do this morning is talk to you about what it means to be a disciple, but I want you to understand that in the context of the fact that God loves you and that Jesus died for you, and now what's our part in Christianity? I'm going to explain this later in case you're wondering, and I thought this was a bigger drop sheet, but that'll do the job for now. Set that right there. I have your attention, don't I? Got my attention. One of the things I liked about that video, which, by the way, is part of a Francis Chan Bible study that our small group did on the forgotten God. It's talking about the Holy Spirit and the role of the Holy Spirit in the church and in Christianity. It's the idea that, first of all, just working hard is not the point. I mean, you can work as hard as you want, but if you're working hard in the wrong direction, or if you're working hard in areas that aren't your responsibility, it's not actually good discipleship or good Christianity. And the second part is that success for the video and in the Bible is based on the harvest, the fruit, the multiplication of what we've planted. Now, we're in a series on family on mission, and we're going to take a look at what Jesus says to us in the Gospel of Mark as it relates to this idea. But I want to suggest to you this morning that family on mission is not just another idea or an option for us as a church. This is the point of church, of Christianity, and of discipleship, to gather together with other disciples and to be on mission together. We're going to take a look at Mark chapter 4, so if you can grab your Bibles, if you have them. I'm not going to be reading directly from the text, but you can follow along. And I'm going to invite my friend Jessica to come back and join me on the platform. Now, I'm the worship arts pastor, so this means I'm not just responsible to make sure that there is music in this church, but I also have the opportunity to encourage things like visual arts. Elizabeth Gunter and I are working on doing an art gallery in the spring to engage with some of the artists outside of our church family, and so visual art is one of the ways we do this. Drama, like we saw this morning, spoken word. But this morning, Jessica is going to help me with the seldom used church gift of hair art. Now, Jessica, you're a trained professional. This is true? All right. She actually is a trained professional. Jessica was in my youth group when I was the youth pastor at Calvary, and she's an O'Neill graduate, so she knows some of you out here who are attached to that school. But this morning, Jessica, as part of what I want to share with you, is going to use her gift of cutting hair. Try not to let her distract you, because as distracting as it may be for you, I got to preach with someone behind me with sharp objects, so it's a little harder for me. Jesus tells a parable, and in this parable, it's talking about four different soils. And I'm sure that many of you have heard this parable before, but I'm just going to go through it just to make sure we're all on the same page. Do you need to put that? Go ahead. It's got mustaches on it. Look at that. After the service, she's going to be in the foyer. Sure, I'll hold this for a while. Jesus tells a parable. And when Jesus tells a parable, he's not telling a story with a moral. He's telling a story to reveal the kingdom of God. He's talking about the values and the economy in the kingdom of God that are often quite different than the values and the economy that we work with in our culture. And he also tries to explain how we can experience the kingdom of God and partner with it. Now, in this particular parable, he talks about a farmer scattering seed. And as that seed is scattered, some of the seed falls onto a hard path. And it says that the birds came and ate the seed up, while other seed fell on stony soil. And while it would start to grow, because it had no roots, when the sun was shining down, it would scorch the plant and it would die. A third soil, a soil filled with weeds, would receive the seeds and the plant would grow quickly. It seemed to be doing great, but eventually the weeds would choke the plant out and steal its nourishment so that it couldn't grow any further and would eventually die. The fourth soil is good soil. It's rich and it's dark soil. The seed sinks deep. The roots grow down and it produces an abundance of harvest. Now, Jesus doesn't explain the parable right away, but it tells us later with his disciples, he takes the time to explain to them what it means. First, he suggests that the seed is actually the Word of God. And this is not just quoting Bible verses. This is specifically the Word of God, Scripture, as it relates to sharing the gospel. This seed is scattered by the farmer, and it falls all over the place, and sometimes it falls on the hard path. And Jesus tells us that hard soil is much like someone who has a hard heart. In this case, the seed doesn't actually fall into the soil. It stays on top, and Satan steals it away. All right. The second soil is stony soil. And it says, while the gospel seed falls on the stony soil, and it might look like it takes at first, the plant grows, eventually the persecution, the scorching persecution and opposition that a person faces causes their gospel plant to wither and die. Thirdly, some seed falls on the soil with weeds. And Jesus explains that these weeds are like the worries of this life, and materialism specifically. In this case, while the plant looks like it's doing well, eventually it can't sustain itself faced with all of the competition in the soil with it.
How's that?
I think that's better. Thank you. Finally, the fourth soil is the good soil. And this is the person whose heart is soft and receptive, whose heart is not cluttered with the stones of distraction or the thorns and weeds of worry and materialism. And it says that in this person, the gospel seed produces much fruit, and the harvest is great, 30, 60, and 100 times. Now, I want to suggest to you this morning that this particular parable is not just for individuals, it's for us as a church, but it needs to start with individuals. Sounds like a lawnmower going around. I'm ready for our outdoor service. Now this morning, before we get going too far, I want to make something very clear, because I know growing up, and I've heard this parable many times, and if you, like me, have heard it many times, you might fall into the same trap. We think that this parable is about putting people into categories. You know, my friend, he's got a hard heart. He's not a bad person, but he's not receptive to the gospel. And he's who Jesus was talking about with that hard soil. Or that person was a Christian for a while, or said they were, but eventually they just bailed because they were distracted by the world, and they were like the soil with weeds. Before we start putting other people into categories, Jesus wants us to look at our own soil. It's important for us to check our soil, because there's only two soils in this passage. There's unsuccessful soil and successful soil. And this morning, while there are three examples of unsuccessful soil, we all desire to have successful soil. Now, many of you might be nodding and assuming, that's great, I'm looking at my life, I'm here, I'm a Christian, I'm growing, it's not perfect, but I'm definitely good soil. And you might be right, but it also is a good idea to remember that just because you have good soil today doesn't guarantee that your good soil will be maintained in the days and weeks ahead. So I want to talk about the three unsuccessful soils for a few minutes. In Hebrews 3, verse 15, it says, "Today, if you hear God's voice, do not harden your hearts like the Israelites did back in Egypt." Now, he's specifically referring to when the Israelites left Egypt and they're wandering in the wilderness. If you recall, while Moses was leading them, they started to grumble and complain, at first because there was no food, and then there was no water, and then because there wasn't enough meat. And eventually, God was so upset with the people, many of them actually died in the wilderness because of their complaining and hard hearts. Sometimes we decide we know better than God, and our pride gets the better of us. And most importantly, we don't follow through on God's direction as it's revealed to us. Sometimes God speaks through the scriptures, and you read the Bible and you discover what God is trying to say to you. But other times, God speaks to you in your heart. You know, maybe this morning as we sung one of those songs, or even as I'm speaking, God is planting seeds of thought into your heart that you need to address. Every time we ignore that, the Bible says that our hearts become harder and harder. As a matter of fact, it says that if we resist the Holy Spirit long enough, that eventually we will discourage him from ever speaking to us. It's important that we break up the hard soil today, that we make sure that living water can flow deep into the soil and gospel seeds that are scattered nearby can sink into the dark, rich, nutrient-filled soil. We have to turn it over. We have to disrupt it. And if your heart is hard this morning, this puts you in an awkward place of some hard work and sometimes making yourself vulnerable, feeling exposed. But if you want the gospel to take root in your life, we have to make ourselves vulnerable to God. Now in Galatians chapter 1, Paul writes to the church there and says, "I am astonished how quickly you are deserting the one who called you." Now, in this particular epistle in the New Testament, Paul is talking to the Galatians because while they accepted the gospel at first and were so excited, they started to succumb to the pressure, specifically of the Jewish legalists. They started to think that it was too good to be true, this gospel message, that we had to do something to earn it as well. And so they fell into the trap of trying to maintain the Jewish law also, thinking that somehow would improve their standing with God. That may not be the persecution that you and I face today, but certainly there is lots of suffering and persecution for Christians in our world. While our physical suffering may not compare to those around the world, we definitely are experiencing more and more a world and a culture and a society that is intolerant of us as Christians, even though tolerance is apparently the most important thing in their worldview. We are faced with situations where people suspect that we somehow don't believe in science because we believe in the Bible. And people dismiss us out of turn, or even worse, think that we are dangerous. If the gospel is true, much like the parable Jesus told of the pearl of great price, we should be willing to sell everything. We should be willing to accept anything if it meant we receive that pearl, that gospel truth, and have it change our lives. It is discouraging how the modern Christian will work harder to save for a vacation than they will to discover and experience the true full gospel message. This is important that we address these big stones in our soil so that the roots can go deep, that those things that will prevent us from taking our faith fully seriously, to understanding that those obstacles that we face, while we don't need to understand them all right away, we need to accept the fact that the Bible is authoritative and Jesus is the only way to God. We can continue to take the rocks out of our soil as a process, but it can only happen if we understand that those rocks cannot be in the soil if we expect our gospel seeds to grow. I spent one summer working on a farmer's field, and I will say again, I spent one summer doing that. I remember for one particular week, we picked stones from those fields and followed behind a tractor that was driving slowly. And a whole group of us, young, unsuspecting teenagers, worked long hours picking rocks out of dirt. It seemed pretty mindless and pretty unimportant, but to the farmer, we were saving his equipment and giving him a much better chance at having a successful harvest. Finally, the third soil in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, there's this great verse that keeps coming up in my life. I know I've mentioned it from the platform a few times. Let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us and run the race. Goes on to say, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. You know, if we're trying to be Christians, but we are keeping part of our heart from God, much like someone who has a beautiful garden but allows weeds to exist in one particular corner, eventually we discover that those weeds will not stay in that one place, but will eventually take over the entire garden. Sin left unchecked, even if it starts in one room or one corner of our heart, will eventually take over our entire heart. It's important for us to rip the sin up from the roots, to make sure that we continually battle against the weeds of temptation that grow up seemingly overnight. And I also think that this is a group effort. One of the reasons we encourage small groups in our church so much is because we believe that group accountability and encouragement is necessary in order for us to keep our gardens weed-free. Now, in each of these cases, there is great effort needed by us as individuals and us as groups. But I want you to notice that all three of those areas also are done in, or cleaning up all three soils mentioned, are done in partnership with God. In the first particular situation, listen to God's voice so that your heart doesn't get hard. In the second situation, don't desert the one who has called you. And in the third, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. It's important for us to have good soil. But as I mentioned, good soil today does not guarantee good soil tomorrow. Anytime you neglect soil, it can dry out, it can harden, weeds can creep in, rocks can rise to the surface from deep below. This is a lifelong journey of working the soil, and we call this discipleship. But the goal of discipleship is not to have great soil. No one walks around and says, "Hey, buddy, nice soil." If you see a beautiful garden, unless you're really, really hardcore, you probably don't even notice the dirt. You notice the beautiful flowers or the beautiful fruit on the beautiful tree that is planted in that great soil. The goal of discipleship is a harvest, is fruit, is multiplication. You know, it's fascinating. There's a verse in John chapter 15. I just want to read this to you. "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." You know, the hard work of maintaining your soil is not what shows people or proves to yourself that you're a disciple. Actually, fruit, multiplication of the gospel impact, harvest, these are the things that demonstrate yourself to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. But I want you to hear a few examples from the scripture about fruit in our lives, and I want you to listen for a common theme. In Galatians 5:22, it tells us that peace, joy, love, patience, it gives us a whole list. It's called the fruit of the what? In Psalm chapter 1, it says that blessed is the man or woman that does not hang out with and live the sinner's life, does not spend his time on the sinful path, because he will be like a tree planted by streams of water and will produce much fruit. What's the opposite of being on the sinner's path? He meditates on the word of God. He delights in the law of the Lord. In John chapter 15, Jesus says, "If you abide in me and I in you, you will produce much fruit." And in Matthew 7, it says, "A good tree produces good fruit. A bad tree produces bad fruit." You know, here's the thing. Producing fruit is actually not your job. It's God's job. And when we work hard to try and produce fruit, we end up pushing or pulling a tractor through a field instead of learning that the tractor can do that work on its own. Actually, the fruit is God's work in our good soil. So our job is to partner with God, is to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, to work in that good soil. And He is the one that produces the fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, that's the result of the Spirit in us. We can't try harder to be more loving. It has to be a work of God in us. You can't try harder to produce fruit. Apple trees don't try to produce apples. It's just what they do because of what they are. Now, if you read through Matthew or Mark chapter 4 a little bit further along, this is explained even more clearly in another parable. Jesus said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain first, then the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel, and it becomes a harvest." The point here is that it is fruit in your life as a disciple that will let you know you are on the right track, that you actually are being biblical in living out your faith. But the fruit is the result of God's work in you. Your job is to make sure your soil is healthy, is exposed, is ready to receive the gospel seeds that are planted, not just so that you can become a Christian, so that you can become nourished and you can grow to the full extent of your potential, the potential that God has given you. How are we doing?
Good.
All right. Have you ever cut hair in front of like a couple hundred people before?
Oh, you know, all the time.
All right, there you go. You should have a TV show. I'm thinking we could go on the road. I have to keep growing my hair. Pastor Brian, what are you doing next week?
No?
It'll be a shorter sermon, I guess. I'm just saying, I'm long-winded. That's what I was saying. Now listen, friends. This is what fruit is not. Manufactured results. Looking and sounding the part. Having a checklist that might even include certain things or moral stances that are in the Bible. This is not fruit. At best, these things help us with our soil. But true fruit is increased gospel impact. The kingdom of God made tangible for other people in our lives and the work of the Holy Spirit. As the gospel seed is planted in us, it takes root. It grows. It bears fruit. But now the natural next step is for us to join the farmer in scattering seeds. You see, discipleship involves us working on our soil in partnership with God so that the Holy Spirit can work in us. But it's important for us to continue the process and to join God in scattering gospel seeds so now the Holy Spirit can work through us. This is what being a family on mission is all about. It's disciples gathering together intentionally so that we can help each other with our soil, and we can encourage one another and partner together in creative and unique and exciting opportunities to scatter gospel seeds. You're going to hear things about what we call missional communities over the next several weeks. And it's important for us to understand that it is not an either or, it is a both and, that we work on our soil, but we also scatter seeds. Now, scattering is different than planting. For those of you that might have a little vegetable garden in the backyard and you plant the seeds meticulously, a certain distance apart, in a straight line, that's not what we're called to do. We're called to scatter, to throw them all over the place, to not worry if some seeds fall on hard ground or in weedy areas. Because the truth of the matter is, as we scatter gospel seed, we don't know what someone's heart is actually like. And the person who seems like he's got the hardest soil in the world for a heart might actually have good soil that is ready and receptive for the gospel. It's also important for us to remember that simply saying, well, I'm a Christian, and I try and live my life like a Christian, and I hope people notice, is not scattering seed either. Granted, a few seeds might fall out of your pocket or out of your knapsack as you go for a walk, but that, in fact, is all you're doing. Not scattering seed, but going for a walk. It's important for us to build relationships, to incorporate the gospel at every turn. This is, in fact, the example that Jesus gives us, incarnating the gospel by building relationships with those around us and not worrying about whether they had good soil or bad soil in their hearts. If you think of the people that Jesus interacted with, for the most part, all the Pharisees said, those people have bad soil. Those people have hard hearts, but Jesus knew better. He actually knew the people that looked and sounded the part were the ones whose heart was hard. So as we do this, we want to encourage you to do this together, to do this intentionally, to tell stories, to celebrate, to include the people we're actually scattering the seed to in the process, to let them tell their own stories at whatever stage they find themselves at. And we want to let the Holy Spirit work and understand that God's timing is not our timing. How are we doing?
Good. I have to use a really noisy clipper soon.
All right. Tell you what. Why don't we hold off on that?
Okay.
I'm gonna just finish up, and then maybe afterwards I'll let you finish it,
because I
want it to.
Mostly
I do want you to finish.
So.
All right. All right. I'll let you take that off.
Yeah. It's just the main.
No, that's awesome. Thank you. Thank you.
There we go.
Larry, turn this back on because just see here. Dun, dun, dun. I think she cut part of my ear off. It won't hold the... There we go. All right. Excellent. Okay. Now, one of the things that we want to encourage you to do is to not work harder, but to change where you're working so that you can make the difference that God has called you to make. Let's see here. The rabbit goes around the tree. What? How'd you learn to tie a tie? And down the hole. Come on, there you go. Double Windsor knot right there. Well, no, that's, you know. All right. Now, I guess I have a question for you. Now, some of you saw me come in today, and I guess the question is this. Do I look different than when I came in?
Yes.
Yeah, some of you are like, much better. You look a little pastoral now. Good for you. Here's the more important question. Am I any different? No, not at all. Not at all. And here's the thing. I don't want to diminish any of this, but I would like to suggest that perhaps as Christians, we've spent way too much effort trying to look like Christians and sound like Christians, to play the part and sound the part, when in fact God is saying, you know what you need to work on? All the stuff that no one can see. All the stuff no one can give you credit for. All of the stuff that you can hide if you're really good at it, and some of us are great at it. Underneath the surface, buried deep in the dirt, all of the weeds that could crop up any second, and you just are a really fast weeder, and so people don't see that. And instead of dealing with the problem, you simply snip them off at the surface so you look the part. And we spend a lot of time and effort putting that facade on. There's a word from ancient Greek called, and it's transliterated, hypocrite. Now, in today's world, we know this as a negative word, but actually in the original language, it meant to wear a mask. And it was used to describe actors, because actors would simply wear a mask. They would pretend to be someone they're not. And here's the thing, in today's world, we know for a fact, especially with millennials, they are so easily aware of people that are wearing masks, and they're unimpressed. As a matter of fact, they're disgusted. And I think I know myself and other Christians who sometimes have been guilty with good intentions. We're not being a hypocrite in the negative sense of the word. We're actually trying to be good Christians and better disciples. But in fact, what we're doing is being a hypocrite. We're wearing a mask. What Jesus has called us to do, and this is beautiful. He says, I created you unique and special. I don't want you to look like all the other Christians. I want you to believe in Jesus like all the other Christians and trust that the Word of God is authoritative, but then I want you to live out your uniqueness. I want you to be the person I have created you to be, meeting the people that you will meet, because you meet different people than I do. And it's important for us to understand that when we go into those places and with those people, we are scattering gospel seed if we're disciples. And God produces fruit because we've worked on our soil, not because we're wearing a mask. Now, there's all kinds of groups you can be involved in the church, and they're all good, but a lot of them, most of them usually are soil-based groups. And I'm not saying we need to get rid of those. I'm saying we need more seed-scattering groups. This is not necessarily an evangelistic crusade. This is simply ways that we can engage with our community, like that art gallery I talked to you about. If you're interested in that, talk to Elizabeth Gunter. Pickleball with Pastor Brian does a great job of connecting with people in our community. Our basketball group that meets Wednesday night. But you have stuff that you do that you're good at. Cooking, reading, coffee, wings, school groups, parent groups, gym, fitness, parties, barbecue, fireworks. There was a lady at the church that I was part of planting in Grimsby, and she loved knitting. And I preached something to this effect, and she said, John, this sounds like a dumb question, but do you think knitting could be that kind of group? And I said, you need to start a knitting gang. Get jackets and a big mean-looking crest, a skull with knitting needles through it. Let's do this up. This woman, God bless her, she got together with these ladies. They used to talk about knitting and send knitting diagrams, instructions to each other. I don't knit. I think that's apparent to all. She ended up meeting with this group regularly, and she started a Bible study with this group based on knitting. What is it that you are passionate about? Where is it that you go where you connect with other people that so desperately need the gospel? Not just the Bible verses jammed down their throat, but need to experience the gospel and the kingdom of God in a tangible way. Because truly, while I may look different initially because I got my hair cut. The fact of the matter is, if you change your soil, you will change on the inside. The Holy Spirit will change you on the inside, and you become a radically different person that loves, that forgives, all the things that we talked about in that drama this morning. And that's the kind of person that changes the world. That's the kind of church that makes a difference in the community. So I wonder this morning, friends, if you are willing to be part of those kinds of groups. Whether it's a formal group or maybe it's just a one-off of going to a baseball game or having a barbecue in the summer and not just getting together with your church friends but inviting your neighbors, or not just getting together with your neighbors but inviting your church friends. Let's be the kind of church that doesn't just walk around and let gospel seeds fall out of our pocket but recklessly scatters gospel seeds by loving people, encouraging people, praying for and with people, making a difference in their lives, not to get them to become a Christian or come to church, but just to allow them to experience the kingdom of God so that the Holy Spirit can work in their soil, because they may be more ready than we ever imagined. You know, this kind of evangelism is intended to be low maintenance and organic. It's not saying do something different. It's saying what are you already doing, and be more intentional in those places. And remember that God has gone before you to prep the soil. Our job is to scatter the gospel seed, and you don't even need to get your hair cut to do it. Let's pray. God, thank you this morning for just this truth that you've created us unique, and that uniqueness is part of what you want us to use to scatter these gospel truths, to live out this gospel message, to bring the kingdom of God into the lives of others. Would you help us to be creative, to be very wise? Would you also help us to do the hard work of maintaining our soil and making ourselves vulnerable and accountable to our friends, our small groups, our huddles, so that we can have help dealing with the weeds and rocks in our soil. Prevent it from getting hard by having friends who continue to help us break up the soil of our hearts. May this parable resonate with us, not just today, but in the weeks and months ahead as we as a church go on mission. And would you bless our efforts? God, would you bless our intentionality by doing an abundance of your work, a harvest, fruit that we can see and celebrate and give you glory for? And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.